Would you take your Bibles? Have you got a Bible? If you've got a Bible, page 1042. That was a great year. 1042. 1042. It's Luke 11, if you didn't know where 1042 was. Luke 11. And this is Jesus teaching on prayer. If you look at Luke 11, the first passage there, 1 to 13, we'll read this together, and then Lisa's going to come and read from 1 Timothy. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks will find, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who seek him?" Turn to 1 Timothy, would you? Page 1192, I think it is. 1192.
"I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all good godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men."
For you as you come. Father, we ask that you'll open your word to us now as Chris comes to speak. We pray that your hand will be upon him, and we ask for attentive ears as we ourselves hear what you want us to hear. And so may we be blessed as he is blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're part of a series on prayer, and we're looking at this phrase intercessory prayer today. And so I want to tell you some things that we're not going to be covering today, in fact. We're not going to be answering the question, why does God not always seem to answer our prayers? That's next week. So it should be packed out next week to get the answer to that one. So do come along. What we're going to do, in fact, I'm just going to give a brief introduction, then we're going to look at God's role in intercession, and then we're going to go through again, I think like Tony did, the why, who, what, how of intercession. Then we get to the really interesting bit, what happens when we intercede, what actually happens, and then the result of all that prayer. So that's where we're going this morning, and let's see how we get there. So I'm going to just do this, I'm afraid, Fabian, okay? So it's not working. Do you know they've got dial a prayer for atheists now? Yes, they have. You ring up and it rings and rings, but nobody answers. Now, I saw that joke online and I thought, okay, that's a good one. When you search for intercessory prayer online, you find all sorts of interesting things appearing on the screen. One of the things I was blown over by was a British medical journal report from the year 2000, which said this. It carried out a study, and it said, remote intercessory prayer said for a group of patients is associated with a shorter hospital stay and shorter duration of fever in patients with a bloodstream infection, even when the intervention is performed 4 to 10 years after the infection. So I also found a site which the atheists put up saying, when did prayer ever answer anything? Here's a list of all these diseases that have never been got rid of by prayer. And here's a list of all the diseases that have been got rid of by science. So interestingly enough, this isn't just something which Christians kind of mull over. This is a hot topic. And if you read the stuff that's being said in our society, people are very antagonistic about prayer. Some sites I saw had things up that said, you know, you think you're doing something and you're doing nothing. You're worse than nothing. And of course, we go back to Karl Marx, don't we? And religion is the opiate of the people. That idea that we're wasting our time. But on the other hand, talking about how God answers prayer is a way very often of engaging with people. Because if your testimony is, this is what God has done for me, that's one of those things it's very, very hard to argue with. Okay, let's move on. So what is intercessory prayer? Well, it's nice and simple. It's praying for other people. And it's praying to God for on behalf of other people, and maybe their situations too, whether or not we know them personally. So when we pray in this church, sometimes we pray, as we're going to pray a lot this week, for Jim, who's a brother in this church. And then sometimes we're going to pray for the Ukraine. And I don't know how many of you know anyone in the Ukraine. I think one person in the church probably does. Going to read something they sent me later. But basically, we don't know anything about that, but we also pray, because that's all part of the prayer that we go through. So we're going to look at God's role in intercession first. What does God do? Before we get on to what we do when we pray, what does God do in intercession? Well, the first thing is that the Lord Jesus intercedes for us. He intercedes for us. In fact, there's almost no point in us coming to pray if we think the reason that God might answer our prayers is because we deserve to be heard by God. That doesn't fly. The reason that we can pray to God for anything is because the Lord Jesus Christ loved us and gave himself for us. He is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for us. And he's praying for us. So the Lord Jesus is praying for us all the time, day by day. There's that passage in 1 John 2 that talks about if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. It's that same word, the advocate, the go-between, the one who stands in the gap, the one who prays for us. And so we know that the Lord Jesus is involved in intercession because he's praying for us himself. We know too that the Holy Spirit helps us in prayer. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. What's this telling us? It's telling us that when we pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit knows our motives. And sometimes when we pray, we don't know what to pray. Let's take Ukraine. It's pretty hard to know what to pray, isn't it? But what we can know is that if we pray, the Holy Spirit takes our prayers and actually interprets them to God in accordance with God's will. It's an amazing promise. Now, in our spiritual gifts work we've been doing this term, Some people are particularly blessed in this way if they have a gift of speaking in tongues, because that's the way the Holy Spirit can talk through them in a way that's wordless groaning. But this isn't exclusive to people speaking in tongues. Even if we don't speak in tongues, the Holy Spirit is able to come into our prayers and interpret them in a way that's in accordance with God's will. And this is important because sometimes we end up getting into a trap about prayer, don't we? Can we pray that? Is it God's will? Okay, well, this says it's best to pray just like the conversation that Paul and Sue were sharing with us this morning. Pouring your heart out to God, because the Holy Spirit will interpret and will pray on our behalf, even if we get the words wrong. By the way, if you're a new Christian, or if you're not used to praying out loud stuff to God in front of other people, this is also a promise. Even if you use the words wrong, it's not wrong at all, but even if you say something which doesn't sound quite right, God, the Holy Spirit, takes the motives of your heart and by the Holy Spirit interprets it in the right way. And then, of course, God's role in intercession. Well, who do we pray to? We pray to God, our loving Heavenly Father. But not only is he our loving Heavenly Father, but he's the Almighty God as well. And our Father in heaven will give good gifts to those who ask him, will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And he delights to give us good things. I've got through most of my stories about my children, as you've probably known over the years. I'm now moving on to my grandchildren. And we had Edward, who's nearly three, around with our house a while ago, and he's just learned that those very small creme caramels are absolutely lovely, okay? So he saw me break one off the pack of four and give it to him, and he wolfed that down. And immediately, what does he say? He says, I want more creme caramel. And of course, what's the right thing to do? The right thing is to say, in this case, you've had one, that's quite enough for you. Now, was his prayer answered, if you get what I'm saying? No, but he got good things from his grandfather in this case. And that's the nearest I'm going to get to anything about God not answering prayer. We pray to God, but God will give us good things. And so if we're not receiving in prayer, that may be the first point to start by asking God, God, you've promised to love me as a father. How then do I receive what I'm not getting? What are you saying to me? Okay, so that's God's role. Now, very quickly, we're going to look at the why, who, what, how. Why do we pray for others? Who is called to intercede? What and who should we pray for? And how do we pray? Okay? And then we get on to the real meaty bit in the middle. So, here we go. Let's move on. Why do we pray for others? Well, it's nice, easy, first one. We're told to. We're commanded to. So there's no ambiguity here. If you're a Christian, you're told to pray. Jesus said, when he gave the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, he said, when you pray. Not if you pray, when you pray. Okay? And he also said, you pray in that prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a prayer about engaging with reality. You see, the thing is, we're not called to be otherworldly, to only be praying about heaven. We're called to be involved in the world that we live in and get stuck into that. I'm just going to say now on this one, praying your kingdom come and praying too that intercessions and requests and prayers be made for everyone. I was going to encourage you to have a look on the website, the church website, and look at Tony Lane's article. It's under the Being a Good Human Being tag, under the stewardship and gifting materials. And he's written an article on why we should vote. Go and have a look at that, because God wants us involved in our world. We're told to be involved in praying that his kingdom should come. The second reason that we pray is because God loves it when his children talk with him and ask him for things. Just like me and Edward, if you like, my grandson, but far, far more wonderfully, God actually loves it when we talk to him, even if we're just asking for a list of things. But especially if we're actually spending time with him and engaging with him as well. He loves it. And we're told in that reading in Luke, ask and you will receive. How much more will your Father in heaven give good things, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And the third reason is that if we love our family and friends, we would want to pray for them. And in fact, we're commanded a very, very, very hard command, even to pray for those who we consider to be enemies. Pray for each other. Pray for those who persecute you. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So, why do we pray for others? Well, because we want to demonstrate our love to them, perhaps even to our enemies. Okay, who's called to... I love this cartoon, by the way, or this picture. Hand-to-hand combat. Have you ever thought about that? Actually, I don't very often pray with my hands like that, but it's great. Hand-to-hand combat, a whole different meaning. Next time you hear that phrase, think prayer, hand-to-hand combat. Who's called to intercede? Well, the whole church is called to intercede. We had a sermon from Peter a couple of weeks ago. It's often a corporate activity. And the whole church is encouraged to come this Wednesday to the prayer meeting at 8 o'clock to join together to pray, to intercede. The verses I quote here are from the book of Acts. The second one reminds us that Peter was in prison. And what did the people do? Actually, there was very little else they could do. They couldn't take on the authorities. They were far too weak as a fledgling church in Jerusalem. So they met together in a house and they all prayed. And they prayed to God as a church that Peter would be released. And of course, as you know, he was. Who else prays? Individual Christians pray. How do I know that? Well, I know that because it says pray continually. And we're not always in church together or with other Christians, are we? So I know that we're all meant to be praying all the time in that sense. And of course, in Matthew 6, Jesus talks about the way to pray. And he says sometimes the right way to pray is to go in secret into your room and pray to your Father in secret in heaven. And he knows what you're praying for. And the third reason for prayer is that there are sometimes those who are given a special spiritual gift by God of intercessing, of being an intercessor. There's a wonderful chap in the New Testament. He's mentioned a couple of times. And once in Colossians, he's mentioned. His name's Epaphras. And it says about Epaphras, Paul says, he's always wrestling in prayer for you. He's working hard for you. He's always wrestling in prayer. He's working hard for you. And there will be some people in our church who have been given a special gift of being an intercessor. And if that's you, please use that gift. Pray for us as a church. Work at it. Exercise that spiritual gift because that will be a great blessing to us. Okay, let's move on. Who or what do we pray for? Okay, nice and easy this one. We pray for anything and everything. Okay, that's the easy one. We pray for all people. Let me read this to you again. This is part of what Lee's read to us. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession and thanksgivings be made for all people. Why? Because God, our Saviour, wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So can I say it's never wrong to pray that the whole world will get converted. The whole world will come to know Jesus. Okay? I think we can probably tell from Scripture that probably won't happen. But nonetheless, God, our Saviour, wants all people to be saved. He wants all people to be saved and come into a knowledge of the truth. And we're called to pray for all people. So we should pray for the Ukraine as much as we pray for the needs of ourselves in our own situation. So we pray for all people. But we also pray for governments, leaders, and those in authority. And this I think we have a lot of difficulty with. If you're an Anglican and you go to a regular service at an Anglican church, more or less every week they will pray for the Queen and for the government. And as a church we do sometimes, but we don't always do it. But that's what we're encouraged to do, that we should pray. There is a reason for it, because we pray that people will live a peaceful and quiet life. Perhaps there'll be room for the gospel to spread. So we're encouraged to pray, even for the worst leaders, I would suggest. So we can pray for our government and MPs as well on that basis, can't we? And, of course, then we're encouraged as well to pray for ourselves and for the family of God, God's people. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And especially when we've got something in the heart of our fellowship, of our family, that's giving us a concern, that's why we should meet together to pray. And that's why we do meet together to pray. Because that's what God asks us to do, to lift that person, that situation in love into his presence. Okay? How should we pray? I hope I'm not wearing you out. We're going at quite a rattle at this stage. How should we pray? And these are all adverbs. I've got another thing. My wife is an English teacher, so I'm trying to help you all. This is an adverb because it's got an L-Y on the end, okay? I'm not sure that's entirely true all the time, but it's a pretty good start, okay? So how should we pray? We should pray persistently. If you say, I've prayed for something and God didn't answer me, one of the questions is, how long did you pray for? I know a number of you have met a friend of mine called Don, and his wife has been praying for him for about 40 years to become a Christian, and he became a Christian at the age of 70, okay? Now, if she'd given up after 20 years or 30 years, well, I won't argue about whether he would or not, that's a different theological debate, but the fact is that she kept praying persistently, and that's how we should pray. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Boy, that's an interesting parable, that one in Luke 18. It's really a difficult picture of God. So if you want something to stimulate you, go and have a look at that. And if you want all these references, there are a copy of the slides on the table at the back as you go out. But nonetheless, Jesus told his disciples, pray persistently, keep going. Pray boldly and confidently. This is one of my favorite verses, this one. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Okay, you've got to read a bit before. Not because we're good, not because of anything we've done, but because of the grace of God, that he has saved us and made us his children. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So pray boldly, but know that he promises to be with us. Pray humbly. Do you know, even Jesus, who is our Lord, when he prayed, he offered up prayers and petitions and was heard because of his reverent submission. And so when we pray, we shouldn't be strident with God, telling him, this is what you've got to do, God. But we should come with reverent submission. Pray faithfully and trustingly. Whoever has faith in me, Jesus said, will do what I have been doing. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, that's a key word, I think, in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. But we're to come as people who have faith in Jesus, not just that he can save us, but that he can change us and change what we're praying about. We come with faith. And finally, we should pray often or always. We've had this one already. On all occasions, with all kinds of prayers, always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. I think that's probably an all. I said often, but I was probably being understating it. We should pray always. Okay, so that's the long list of how, what, why. Now we come to what happens when we intercede. And I think this is really very, very exciting. So if we look at the next slide, if you look on the website, I do look at my Bible as well when I prepare my sermons. I want to tell you that. But actually, you learn so much about how other people present their thinking about God and so forth by looking on the websites. And you get all these sorts of pictures. So when we pray, do miracles happen? When we pray, does prayer change things? And if so, what? Okay, so what does prayer change? Does it change God? Does it change God? Now, remember the story we just had of Abraham and God. Did God change his mind? I don't think he did in that story, because he perhaps knew how many righteous people were in that town. But what about the story in Numbers 14, where it says that, you probably won't remember this one, but it's where Moses is talking to God when the spies have said, we're not going to go into the promised land, even though you've brought us all this way. And God more or less says to Moses, what am I going to do with these people? I might as well wipe them out and start again. And Moses seems to pray to God not to do that. I'm going to leave you to think about that. Does prayer change God? We say God never changes, and I believe that's right in his character and so on. You might want to think about that one. Does prayer change us? Okay, well, this is another one that I think is a real challenge for us. It's certainly true that prayer does change us. Let me give you an example, and I'd ask that you, if you believe this is being spoken to you today, you take this on board. Because I believe that sometimes there are frictions between people, even in this church. We get angry with each other, we get upset. What do we do about it? Well, we can rant at each other, and that doesn't get us anywhere, I would suggest. What if you're upset with someone today? Why don't you commit to praying for them for this week and see what happens? It may or may not change them, but I'm sure it will change you. Take that one on board. I believe prayer does change us just by the process of praying. Does prayer change situations? And if so, what sort of situations? Well, I would suggest if you've been a Christian for more than a couple of years, maybe more than a couple of hours, and you can't think of some prayers that you've prayed that have changed something, then please come and talk to me afterwards, because I think there might be a problem there. But how big are the things that you can pray about that God changes? When Lucy and I went first to Hong Kong in Christian work, the leaders of the place we were fantastic prayers. And Tim came in one day and said, have you seen the news of the last few weeks? There's been armed robberies in Hong Kong nearly every day for the last few weeks. And I was a bit puzzled by this. And he said, we're going to pray that God stops the armed robberies in Hong Kong. And I thought, hang on a minute, there's a bunch of foreigners here in this place. How can we pray this? And I have to be honest, more or less zero faith. But Tim and his wife and some others, they prayed, and Lucy and I were there, we prayed too, because we were in the room, but it certainly wasn't my faith that did anything about it, I can assure you. And about 2 weeks later, having had reports all the time over this period about armed robberies, they just stopped. Somehow, the faith of Tim and the others broke through and led to that change. It's a wonderful mystery to me why God wants us to participate in prayer. But God uses us as part of his work in prayer. And does prayer bring about miracles? Well, I think it does, because prayer releases God's power. It releases God's power to change whole nations, to change armed robberies in Hong Kong at times, to change whole nations. Here's a promise. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Do we believe that? Are we willing to pray for our land? Are we willing to turn from our wicked ways? Prayer also demolishes human cleverness and proud human pretensions. Again, we don't have time to unpack this, but just listen to these words. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, the weapons we fight with have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And of course, when we pray, God's power is released to defeat the evil one. Ephesians 6 tells us this: our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, as we looked at 2 weeks ago, put on the full armor of God. And that passage finishes by saying, be alert and always keep on praying. We can release God's power into situations to bind and to demolish and to overcome the evil one, human pretensions, all of these things. So, how do we finish before we pray? What's the result of all that prayer? How many prayers have been said over the years? How many millions of times have people prayed, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done"? How many requests have been poured out for God to intervene, to bring justice, to bring peace? How many prayers have been prayed that haven't yet had an answer as we can see it? Chris Wigram put me in mind of this, and I really felt it was his word that we should bring to the church. This is a quote from Revelation chapter 8, and it tells us that God is heading towards a time when he's going to mop up all that takes place in our world, the good and the bad, and sort it all out. And what's he going to do, and how is he going to use what's happened already in our prayer life? It says this: when he opened the seventh seal, that was an angel, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God. Remember, this is a picture, it's a vision. And seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel who had a golden censer, that's like for incense, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand. Not one God-exalting prayer has ever been wasted. Not one is lost or forgotten. Not one has been overlooked or ineffectual. In fact, all of those prayers, the ones that we've seen answered and the ones that we haven't seen answered yet, are on the altar. It's a picture on the altar in heaven before God, till the right time. That right time when God will take those prayers as a glorious, it says, a sweet-smelling odor, like incense going up to heaven. And they will be a wonderful prompting to God to step forward and bring his great and holy purposes to completion. And God will bring judgment, yes, but he will make all things new and all things right as well. So not one of our prayers, if it is a God-exalting prayer, is ever wasted. So what will we do differently on Monday? I had a boss who always used to ask that question. After any meeting, she wanted to know what changed. What would we be doing differently on Monday? I want to just encourage you. If you were spoken to that there's someone that you're unhappy with, perhaps not in the church, somewhere else, or you are, can I encourage you to pray for that person, for their good? Don't pray that they'll change. Pray for their good. Pray for their blessing for this coming week. I want to encourage you to ask yourself whether intercessory prayer and the focus on prayer in our church means that you should think about, please, coming on Wednesday to our House of Prayer prayer meeting. We've been encouraged a couple of times in this series, but if God is saying to you, I want you to take praying for other people seriously, please come this Wednesday or Thursday morning. There's another prayer meeting Thursday morning at 9:15 till 10 o'clock. Either of those, if you can't make the evening, come on the Thursday morning. Perhaps the thing you do differently is come and pray with someone at the end. If there's something on your heart that you want to ask God for or pray about, there'll be people to pray for you at the end as well. I'm going to finish there and hand over, and I'm sorry I've gone on a few minutes longer, but we're going to have 5 minutes more. We're not going to have a hymn at the end as Jeffrey leads us in prayer and intercession.